open with hymn number 16. Our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The sorrows of death compassed me. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice out of his temple. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress.
Lord, be with you, O Lord.
O merciful and everlasting God, Heavenly Father, O Lord God, Heavenly Father, who through thy holy word hast called us into thy vineyard, send, we beseech thee, thy Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may labor faithfully in thy vineyard. Shun sin and all offense. Obediently keep thy word and do thy will, and put our whole and only trust in thy grace, which thou hast bestowed upon us so plenteously through thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may obtain eternal salvation through him who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this Septuagesima Sunday is found in the 9th chapter of Jeremiah, the 23rd through the 24th verse. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 24, through the 10th chapter, verse 5. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, but not uncertainly. So fight I, but not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Here ends the epistle lesson. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 16th verse. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way, and again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. When they had came that were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. When they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Here ends the gospel. Now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God,
begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. We sing hymn number 141.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson this morning is found in the third chapter of Malachi, the 13th through the 18th verse. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us the discernment of thy word, that we may judge rightly concerning ourselves and the wicked men of this world, and seek thee for thy grace. Amen. Dear Christian friends, every parent here with children old enough to speak complete sentences has heard them say, it's not fair. Now, almost invariably, what they actually mean is, give me what I want. But everyone old or young seeks to justify their own desires. It's easier to blame your parents or your authorities when things do not go your way. In our gospel lesson, the laborers in the vineyard in Jesus' parable voiced the same complaint to the Lord of the vineyard. It's not fair that these men who worked in the vineyard only an hour should get the same thing as we who have worked here all day. In our sermon lesson, certain of the Jews make the same complaint to the Lord. It's not fair that we who follow the law of God suffer and mourn for our sins and get no tangible reward for it, whereas the godless rejoice and prosper. How unchanging is the heart of man. What should we expect of God if we demand that he deal with us according to what is fair? The parable of the workers in the vineyard teaches us an important lesson about God's kingdom. Anything at all that we receive from our Lord has nothing to do with how good a worker we were. No doubt the people hearing Jesus' parable were puzzled. How could the Lord of a vineyard justly give the late workers the same as the early workers? Surely they should have received very little. But here again, the words with which the Lord answers the complainers. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with mine own things? Is thine eye evil because I am good? The reward which the Lord of creation gives to any of his children who have labored for him in the world is a reward of goodness and mercy. It is true that those who worked only for an hour did not earn a full day's wages. The truth of the kingdom is that all of the things that God gives are equally rewards of goodness and mercy, entirely undeserved. So not even those who have worked long have earned the reward that their Lord gives them. So what is fair? What is the reward that they truly deserve? Let no man demand that God treat us fairly, or he will quickly learn the truth of Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Yet as surely as God rebukes those who accuse him of unfair treatment, so surely does he also promise us his mercy and grace. For there is a reward for faithfulness. It is a reward of boundless love. And it is graciously given. And it has nothing to do with what we have deserved. Therefore, do not seek your due reward, but rather seek God's gracious gift. The complaint of the Judeans in our first verses should be familiar. They are presumptuous words, and that is what makes them so foolish. It's useless to serve the Lord. What have we gained by keeping his commandments? We parade before him, mourning our sins, and what good has it done to us? We're still lowly and oppressed, and meanwhile the proud and arrogant heathens are having a grand old time. The wicked are living high on the hog, and those who recklessly tempt God are delivered from their own foolishness. Think carefully on those words. Why do they sound so familiar? You may not hear them put in the same way, but they are the thoughts of your heart and mind. Our country is heading into a recession, and maybe even a depression. And what caused it? Greed, and nothing but greed. And I'm not talking about the greed of bankers, although that certainly played a part. I'm talking about the greed of millions of Americans who insisted, I have to have this now because I deserve it, even though they didn't have the money to pay for it. But some Americans have been more wise and have saved their money and spent wisely, but they are in the minority. Now think back in the last 20 or 30 years at all the people who keep buying more and more because it wasn't fair that they had less than their neighbors. And meanwhile, the frugal lived modestly and did largely without. What did their wisdom gain them? Their friends and neighbors were living the high life and rejoicing, recklessly spending and loving every minute of it, never seeming to have to face the consequences of their actions. As the economy crashes, now they begin to understand, and the frugal are looking more and more wise every day. But just a few years ago, the frugal seemed foolish. Why not do what everybody else does? Spend what they do not have. Everyone else is doing it. Of course, they would really be saying, why not join everybody else on the road to financial ruin? You see, that is how it is with the children of God in this world. I said that your heart and mind has such thoughts about God's word and our lot in this world. For here we are, faithfully attending our local church and hearing the word of God and confessing our sins every Sunday, agreeing to strive to follow his commandments every day of our lives, and to believe on the forgiveness of sins in God's Son. And it is not only in church, but throughout our days that we do this. We honor our parents, or at least we try, and we don't steal or commit adultery or hurt anyone. And what is the result? Is our life better because of it? Look at the wicked. They don't even try to do these things, and they're none the worse for wear. They're having a good time. Why can't I also have this? It's not fair. So it seems to us now. But what is the truth of the matter with the wicked? What about those who neither confess their sins nor acknowledge the Lord who made them? As it is with the economy of the state, so it is with the economy of sin. It always has a price. And you can delay that price and put it off for years and decades, but the price will always be paid. The payment may be delayed, but finally the crash comes. The recession or depression of an economy is nothing compared to the destruction of a soul when God finally does what is truly fair and gives the due reward which that person demanded for every deed that they have done, every word that they have spoken. The world is enticing to Christians not because God is unfair, but in fact because he is gracious. And he is giving every man in this world the time and opportunity to acknowledge their sins and repent. But by and large, men use that time in vain, and they pursue their own pleasures above all things. And therefore, it is the world's misuse of the time of grace that entices Christians to leave God's family. I wish that every child who is enticed by the world to leave father and mother and to leave their sisters and brothers in Christ would see the pleasure of the world for what it is, a waste of the most precious resource that God has given men, the time to repent. And if you're not convinced, and if the world still seems better than the household of your heavenly Father, then perhaps you should consider what it would mean for you if God treated you fairly. If he rewarded you according to all the things that you have done for him, according to the measure of your faithfulness. Would you like God to treat you or me fairly if we have done our best to obey him? If we have heard his word, and even if we mourn our sins? God forbid that he ever treats you fairly if this is the way you regard him. For the only fair thing he can do is to cast you out from his presence, where you can dwell with your wicked brethren in the world. But you have a gracious God. By grace he offers you what you could never earn. And there is nothing fair about his grace because you can do nothing to deserve it. The only possible way to receive his reward is by seeking it purely by his grace. If you have been faithful, if you have tried to obey, all these ifs are meaningless. You can say with the Judeans, what profit is there in keeping God's ordinances? No profit at all, so far as your soul is concerned. For you can keep them well enough, but you can never keep them well enough for it to matter. The only thing that matters is that you come to your Lord as a sinner, asking not for what you deserve, but for his compassion which you can never earn. The person who asks if, who thinks of fairness, can only come to one rational conclusion, that it is useless to follow the Lord, because no matter what you do, God will never be happy with your progress or your performance. He will always find you deficient. There's no peace to be found in such reasoning. They that fear the Lord do not find their peace in that way. But they do find peace. And where do they find it? Hear the words of the prophet. They that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. My friends, we do not come together as Christian people in a church or in our homes because we are following a rule, if I do this, or because we want God to treat us fairly. We come together to speak often to one another of what God has done for us, to think upon his name and his works. God has given us a book of remembrance. What is in this book? His holy word. That we are to remember. There is nothing in here that we have done. That book has already been written. It is his story. It is the story of Jesus Christ. It is the story of all the wonderful things that God has done for you. He has given this book to the whole world. But only you who listen to it, who speak to one another of those things, get any benefit at all from what he has written. And therefore, he says, this book is written for you. Malachi, who writes these words, was the last of the prophets. It is no coincidence that in this prophecy God speaks of the book which he has caused to be written for those who fear him and think on his name. God was telling them that the old revelation was now ended. No more would be heard. Until he had done what he promised to do. This is not a word of dread, but of great and everlasting hope. The complaints of the people that it is vain to serve God would be answered by God's greatest service to men. Christ, his Son, the singular focus of all the prophets, would fulfill every word of God. Let no man ever complain then that God is unfair to men. For indeed it is true that he is unfair. Upon his Son, who had done no wrong, he poured out all his wrath against our sin. What is fair about that? That justice should have been ours. But what is the result? God is gracious, and he blesses us. To those who diligently hear his word and think on his name, the name of salvation and life, he says, they shall be mine. And that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. The jewels that he makes us are his gifts of forgiveness of sins and an everlasting inheritance. He does not say, I will treat those as sons because they have served me. He only says, I will spare them as. That is, as if they were a son that serveth me faithfully. For the greatest jewel that we receive as God's gift is the perfect life and service of God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who perfectly served his Father in all things, that we might reap the gracious reward. May God therefore grant that we never seek from him our due reward, but always his gracious gift. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, receive these gifts which we offer unto thee and bless them that they may be fruitful in thy kingdom. Amen. O God, Heavenly Father, who art our rock and our fortress, our life and our salvation, and who art plenteous in mercy toward all that call upon thee, we give thee thanks and praise that thou hast called us to faith in Jesus Christ our Redeemer, made us citizens in his eternal kingdom, and clothed us with his righteousness. Preserve us therein. Fill us with the fruits of righteousness. Make us living epistles of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank thee that thou hast called us to be laborers in thy vineyard, and hast assured us that our labor for thee is not in vain. Grant that our work may be acceptable in thy sight. Give us a heart to accept every service, wisdom to perform it well, and the mind to do it faithfully. Give us gladness for all who come, soon or late, to join us in the labors of thy church. Give us grace to welcome them as brothers in Christ and co-heirs of his salvation. Give us patience and strength to bear the burden and heat of the day. Keep us under thy providence and care as we pass through this world's sea of trials and tribulations. May we find true refreshment at the fountain of life and truth, which is Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that we always remember that Christ is the only head of thy church. Help us in every temptation to be loyal to him, steadfast in faith, and to acquit ourselves as true soldiers of the cross. Grant that by daily contrition and repentance we might drown our old man of sin with the same life-giving stream of thy gospel, whereby our spirits are refreshed. Give us the mind of Christ, that we might not glory in this world, but in the wisdom, power, and riches of the death and resurrection of thy Son Jesus. Be with us, O God, in all that we do. Strengthen and counsel us in our daily toil. Shelter us in our homes. Guide us in our travels. Shield us in our afflictions. Comfort us in our sorrows and hear us in our prayers. May we run the race that is set before us with faith and courage, so that we may obtain the crown of life by faith in Jesus Christ. Accept now the sacrifices of broken spirits and contrite hearts, and grant us thy grace and truth in the saving knowledge of our Redeemer Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray all these things. Amen. We sing hymn number 329.
Oh,
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the name of the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 50.
Blessing, fill our hearts with joy and
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.